It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on another lovely day in our region. I'm staring at it, 50 degrees. We do have some rain coming up here, but beautiful day. I want to thank everybody. I'll say Wednesday. This has been a good week so far. We've gotten a lot of phone calls so far, which is fantabulous. Our phone number is 946-0435. The best thing that you can do on this show is give me a call every now and then. The more phone calls we get, the more fun discussions we can have. I say this for two reasons. One, I do truly enjoy hearing from everybody. Secondly, there ain't a whole heck of a lot going on in the sports world right now. So if you don't call, I got to sit here and listen to myself talk for an hour. Nobody wants that. I don't want it. You don't want it. So 946-0435. Like, Monday started out cool. Monday, before I even got into anything, we were getting calls, people, you know, bringing up stuff, which is always great. I do have an interesting topic for you. I'm going to throw this out. Did you see or hear the news about Matt McGloin, the former Penn State quarterback? He was elected to be a county commissioner in Lackawanna County. So Matt McGloin was doing well away from the football field, got himself an elected position. That's where Scranton is, his hometown. A few days ago, though, we learned that Matt McGloin resigned as a Lackawanna County commissioner and was going to take a job as an offensive analyst at Boston College under Bill O'Brien, who was his coach at the end of his career at Penn State. So, pretty cool story. Pretty neat little story. You know, Matt McGloin. I think everybody likes Matt McGloin. Good dude. I call him Moxie. But it was an interesting little story. He resigned, elected a position, go take a college football job. Well, today, Matt McGloin has had a change of heart. He has resigned at Boston College after less than a week, and is coming back home. All we've seen or heard yet is family reasons. I don't know what those could be. Could be something big. Could be something small. Might have determined it was the wrong situation. Maybe he didn't want to be away from his family, which, you know, certainly can be the case. But so in just a handful of days, this story got crazy. At the end of last week, everybody knew McGloin was going to resign. For personal reasons, we didn't quite know what they were. Then he gets a job at Boston College. It's like, oh, cool, this will be really neat to see him reunite with Bill O'Brien. And then today, he resigns. I'm not asking you, though, about Matt McGloin. The topic I'll ask you about, if you want to weigh in on this. Have you ever made a decision in life? Big decision. Life-changing decision. Something that was going to impact you and everybody around you. And then changed your mind pretty quickly thereafter. You ever done that in life? I hope some of you have some interesting stories on this. We'll see. Phone lines are open. 946-0435. Maybe you were going to take a job somewhere, took the job, decided it wasn't right, changed your mind. Maybe you were going to marry somebody, something huge, pop the question, big day arising, change your mind. It happens. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't make you a terrible person. What it does do, though, is it shapes your life from that moment forward. So if anybody wants to play along with this, I know you've got stories. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story about a decision you made at some point when you were 17 or 24 or 31 or 42 or 55. Everybody's got a life-altering story. Here's two for me. In 1998, let's see, I guess this would have been late in 1997, I was living in Arizona doing some part-time sports writing work there in the Phoenix area. I would have been 24 at the time. And I got a job offer in San Luis Obispo, California. Now, Dan called in Monday. Dan, I don't know if you're listening. You called in Monday, and you were talking about something, and you mentioned San Luis Obispo. How many of you have ever heard of San Luis Obispo, California? I don't remember what Dan was talking about, but he mentioned. So there was this job opportunity. It's south of Los Angeles to be assistant sports editor at their newspaper then. I'm 24 years old. I got a college degree in journalism. I'd been working at that point for 4 years in journalism, even though I was only 24 years and 5 years, 24 years old. So I was staying in Arizona, had my couple of dogs with me, hopped in the car, drove from Phoenix out to San Luis Obispo, did the job interview, took the journalism test that they give you. I'll always remember this. Here's a journalism test. Just one question that was on the test. What do some of these things stand for? RBI, that kind of stuff. Easy stuff. One of them was ERA. And as a sports guy, this was not just a sports journalism test. As a sports guy, I put earned run average. The journalism test was looking for equal rights amendment. So I will always remember 1997. I'll always remember, but it was a spelling test. Accommodate. That's a tough word. It's got two C's, two M's. That was on there. A recommend was on there. One C, two M's. You know, just typical. So I spend half the day in San Luis Obispo, California. This interview went well. 24-year-old Corey Geiger gets offered the job to be the assistant sports editor of the newspaper there. Mark Brunell is from there, if you remember Mark Brunell, the NFL quarterback. So they gave me the job. I took it. I was excited. I was going to start in a couple of weeks. I was going to drive back to Phoenix with my two dogs who were at the hotel. And I was going to continue my sports writing career in San Luis Obispo, California. And I left, and I started driving back, and within 2 hours, I was like, I don't want this job. I don't want this job. Now, to give you a little bit of an understanding, at this point in my career, I wanted to cover professional baseball. I was on a path to try to cover professional baseball. My goal was to cover the minor leagues and then get to the big leagues. And obviously, I spent half a lifetime in the minor leagues with the covering the curve. So, but I took the job, driving back to Phoenix for a couple hours in traffic, got my dogs in the car, and I'm like, I don't want this damn job. And so I called the guy, and I said, man, I'm really sorry. I've just had some second thoughts here. I've had a lot of time to think about this on my own, and it's just something that, and you know, at that point in life, you feel like such a jerk. You take a job, at least this is the way I was. Maybe some people nowadays don't care at all about their employer or anything like that. But you take a job, and you're like, you expect it to go forward. And whatever life I would have had out in San Luis Obispo, California, and where that would have taken me, I have no idea, because one of the best things I ever did in my life was I summoned up the courage to make the phone call and say, you know what, I just don't want the job. Long story short, really, really long story, then I had resumes out all over the country for some minor league baseball jobs. I flew out to Hagerstown, Maryland, interviewed for a job there to cover minor league baseball in Hagerstown, Maryland. I also had a job opportunity that was just offered to me over the phone in Danville, Virginia, and I wrestled going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, a whole bunch on which job I was going to take. And I almost took the job in Hagerstown, Maryland. And I think about what kind of life I would have had. So when my wife and I, we were just in Hagerstown a couple weeks ago driving back from Florida, we stopped at the Checkers there. And every time we go through Hagerstown, I always tell my wife, this would have been the life that I would have had. I would have never known you had I not gone to Danville, Virginia, covered their minor league team, and then come to Altoona. So that's my question for you. Anybody got a story of a job that you took, a decision you made, a life-altering thing? Because, I look at Matt McGloin. What is Moxie? I'm going to say he's 32, 34 years old, if I had to guess. Still a young man. He's 35, actually. And I don't know. I think he's got a wife. I don't know that he has any children. Wife Bailey. They have one son born in 2019. So that kid is five to six years old. All right. Lives in Scranton with his wife. His son is 5 to 6 years old. He decides to take a job at Boston College. And who knows what that would have meant for his family. Maybe that would have meant moving away from his 5, 6 year old son and wife. And he just might have said, hey, not going to do it. Nebraska man, what's going on, buddy?
How are you, Corey?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I got a story about a big decision to make. 1970, I graduated in 69. My high school coach is one of the greatest, besides my uncle, was Dean Rossi here in Altoona. Fabulous man, fabulous coach. And he's the one that got me on this grenade. He said, we can't guarantee anything, but if you want to take a shot, he said, the only problem is it's 3,000 miles away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a decision that you're going to have to make. And because I came from a very, very close, loving Italian family. We were all knit together. We all stuck together. I was afraid I'd be heartbroken or, get homesick. So I sat down with my uncle and I talked to him, and he said the best thing, that I'd like you to do is to make up your own mind, be who you want to be, and regardless of whatever comes out of it, as long as you go and give it your best and let the cards go on the table. And, if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you always have a home to come back here to Altoona. And then I decided, 3,000 miles away from home, you just can't jump in the car for the weekend and come home. So I took the chance and I went out there and, good fortunes and that, everything worked out for me pretty good.
That's why you're called Nebraska man. So
yeah.
Here you are, Nebraska kid. You're a Nebraska kid at the time. You go out there to play football. I'm just curious. How agonizing of a decision was it?
It was hard. It was hard for me because my grandmother was still living at the time. Like I said, our family was very close. We were together all the time. I was never apart from them for anything. I thought I was going to go out there, get homesick, and turn around and fly and come back. But I met a bunch of nice men out there who took me aside. And they said, the only thing you got to worry about now is if you want to stay out here, you got to hustle your butt here. The only way you're going to be able to stay out here is you got to make this team. And, if you don't do that, you'll be going home real quick. So I had a couple good people out there who took me aside, sat down and talked to me, and because they were in the same boat I was. And we sort of became friends. And lo and behold, the four people that I was in the group with, myself and three other men, we all made that grenade. You had to make the team, to get any kind of help.
It's fascinating. Listen to what Nebraska man just said. He moves from Altoona, Pennsylvania, to Nebraska. Now, did they offer you a scholarship beforehand? What was the deal? Because here's the thing. If I'm like, You're going to go 3,000 miles away without the guarantee of being on the team. Did they just offer you a walk-on? Or how do you convince a 17-year-old kid to make that kind of decision?
Well, Corey, back in, it was called Grant and Aid. Grant and Aid was you went to the school. They gave you 60 days. It's called Grant and Aid. And the only way you got to Grant and Aid is that you had to make the team. If you didn't make the team, then you're going to get no help. If you decided to stay there, then if you brought tuition money with you or whatever, then they would house you. They'd find a place for you to stay besides the football players. When I went out there in 1970, I had $3,000 on me because the tuition out there at the time, I think, was around $2,400, $2,500. And then my family would send me spending money a month. But when I got to Grant and Aid, then they covered all the tuition. The only thing I had to do then was just cover my books, and then they had a big dorm for the players to stay. Freshmen and sophomores couldn't play varsity. So they had two separate buildings. They had a building for the freshmen and the sophomores, and then they had another building for the juniors and seniors. And back then, if you weren't on a scholarship, it was called Grant and Aid. And if you made the team, then they provided you the funds and the housing and everything for you to start your education.
And, end of the story, you end up getting hurt out there, which was unfortunate, and you came back.
Yeah.
But
right.
just the decision for you to go out there, okay, just the decision for you changed your whole life trajectory from that point. Would you look back on it and ever wonder how different things might have been if you had to go? Where did you get – what football offers did you have around this area?
Well, I didn't. Back then, there was like small schools, but they were all, Clarion, my one cousin, he went to Taft College in Florida at the time. Taft College is one of the best junior high colleges in the country. And a relative of mine got an offer to go out there, but you had to get a scholarship to go out there. And like I said, Coach Rossi pulled me aside, and he found me some places that had strictly Grant and Aid because he said, you back then try to get a scholarship was very, very hard to do. You had to be like a Mike Reed or John Ebersole or Steve Thompson. Or Dick Frasca or someone like that, that got scholarships. But he looked into it for me, and he said, if you want to go away 3,000 miles, it's not a guaranteed thing for you to do, but it's an opportunity for you. And he said, that day, my uncle told me that day, that's when you become a man, because you will be on your own, and decisions you'll be making will be your decisions.
That's a great story. It's a great story for so many reasons because, again, just to kind of wrap it up, anybody else want to join in with if you ever made a decision, that you agonized? Because here's the thing. You think of the big decisions that you make in your life, all right, and how your life changes with all of these huge, enormous in reality, your life changes 10, 20 times a day with every decision you make. Maybe you decide to leave for work 5 minutes early. If you'd have left on time, maybe you would have gotten in a car crash. Maybe if you leave 5 minutes early, you get into a car crash. Maybe if you leave 10 minutes late, maybe if you skip work that day and you go out and play golf, maybe you get struck by lightning. I mean, it's amazing how all the decisions that you make in your life, you never fully know what would have happened had something else gone on. But you can look back on 6, 8, 10 decisions in your life and say, wow, I know for a fact everything would have been completely different. It would have been completely different for you, Pennsylvania man, if you had not gone to Nebraska.
Yeah, you're right, Corey. I agree with you.
Thank you, brother. Good story, man. Appreciate it. 946-0435. Again, anybody want to share a story like that? I kind of go back to the Matt McGloin thing of him taking a job at Boston College and having the job for a couple days. So now it looks kind of silly, and people are like, oh, what's going on? What kind of person makes this kind of decision? Well, look. Sometimes you make a decision and you agonize over it and you think, okay, I've made the right decision. And it's only after that do you kind of realize, you know what, I made a mistake here. Dave in Hollidaysburg, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Corey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. What's going on with you?
Well, first, didn't he run for commissioner in Lackawanna County? Wasn't he a commissioner?
He was. He's been he's been the county commissioner out there for 2 years. He resigned that job, and I haven't seen anything yet. You know, if he might be able to get that job back, but he resigned an elected job like 3 days ago to take this job.
Yeah, you don't get a chance to go back to the position. If you give it up, that's the end of the ballgame.
You would think, you know, there could be, hey, look, he's still a huge name there. They could have some kind of special election or something, and he could still get, you know, reinstated. But, but hey, most people don't get that second opportunity, Dave.
Right. Well, here's my story. When I was in college, I graduated a long time ago. First semester of my junior year, I went overseas to study abroad. Now, that was the day when you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have contact with your parents, you went overseas, and maybe you made a couple phone calls home because international phone calls were very, very expensive. Like, it'd be $20-25, and way back when, that was kind of expensive. Well, anyway, I'm overseas in Wales, and I got sick, and because of maybe imbibing alcohol a little too much, but I woke up the next morning, hungover, sick, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, you were on your own, and I realized that I couldn't call home and ask for mom and dad and what should I do or what shouldn't I do. You had to get yourself, because I also, you know, wasn't a native in terms of the medicine over there and things like that. It's just a little decision I made in terms of going overseas, and it made me grow up and realize there are moments when you're on your own and you have to make your own decisions and you have to grow up pretty quick. I know it seems like a minor decision, but it was a moment where I said, I can't go home, because I was throwing up and all kinds of nastiness. The point being, I had to pick myself up and get myself to where I needed to get help, deal with the issue, and move on. And I think I came back a little more mature, a little more less dependent, and thinking there was a safety net under me, and you have to grow up and you have to make decisions yourself. I know maybe that's a little bit more in terms of the situation, but I couldn't call home. I couldn't go home if I got sick or whatever the issue was. You're on your own.
When you look back on it, was it just the alcohol, you think, or was it some food poisoning or something else go awry?
Sorry. Corey, it was the alcohol. because you got to understand, in Wales, if you could walk into a bar, you could drink.
And
I was not used to that amount of alcohol, and there was a girl involved, and I, you know, whatever.
Are they serving you like 180 proof? You're drinking gasoline?
I was drinking whatever the locals told me I should drink.
And it was.
Woo!
Here's the thing, man. You're probably fortunate. How old were you? Give or take 20, 22, 24?
Well, I was because I went to college when I was 17, so I would have been 18, 19, and I was not a drinker in college before that point. So that added to the issue of being a little naive and no sort of toughening up period before I got to Wales. But there was a girl. We were at a bar.
Lots of stories begin with there was a girl at a bar. Hey, we can look back on it and smile now, but you're damn lucky to be alive.
That morning, I remember there were 2 days where all I could eat was applesauce and bread. my stomach was, you know, I was sick, and, you know, throw it, whatever. I don't want to get into details.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a pleasant time, and, you know, it made me realize, and maybe, you know, would have passed, and it passed, and whatever, but at some point during the entire time, I'm like, you know, you're young, you don't know, and you're thinking, I don't know what's going to happen, and you have to get yourself up, pick yourself up, start making your own decision to move on, because, you know, nobody's around there to take care of you and say, hey, Johnny, we need to take you to the hospital. We need to take you to, because I was in a foreign land. I didn't know the medical, anything.
Yep. Hey, that's wild. That's a good story because, man, it just goes to show that you got to grow up fast sometime. And it happens different times for different people. You're 2,000 miles away, and you're like, I better get through this and grow up, or else this is going to be really bad.
Yeah, you gotta pick yourself up. I mean, I know the whole story sounds like a bad country song. I walked into a bar, but...
There was a girl who walked in a bar, ate applesauce for 2 days. All right, Dave, good stuff, man.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
It's February, and TML Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has a sweetheart of a deal for you. Get a lube, oil, and filter service that includes up to 5 quarts of conventional oil, belt and hose inspection, tire air pressure set, rotation of all 4 tires, brake inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for just $59.99. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales are also offering a free Car Care Club membership if you spend $500 or more on any service during the month of February. Each membership is valued at over $499 in services and repairs and includes 4 free oil changes. It all sounds pretty sweet, right? A multi-point inspection, including lube, oil, and filter service for just $59.99 and a free Car Care Club membership when you spend $500 or more on any service at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg. Hurry! Offer expires on February 28th.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX Series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX Series can handle. The Kubota BX Series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX Series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central, 946-0435. We're kind of having some fun sharing some life-altering stories here. I mentioned, if you join me late, Matt McGloin took the job at Boston College to go be an offensive analyst for Bill O'Brien. He was there for just a few days, decides that he's not going to keep the job, resigns, and for personal reasons, family reasons, and that's kind of all we know at this point. Here's why I can relate to Matt McGloin. I'm going to tell you a story right now, okay? We got Clarkster and Dan waiting on the line. They're used to waiting a little bit, so because this is going to take a few minutes. It was October 19th, 2018. Okay? October 19th, 2018. I'm in Bloomington, Indiana. It's a Friday night. I'm getting set to cover a Penn State football game against the Hoosiers the next day. So this is Friday night, October 19th, 2018. My children were 6 years old at the time. My twins. I got a text message from Dejan Kovacevic from DK Pittsburgh Sports with a job offer to cover the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, on October 19th, 2018, that was 2 days after my birthday. My birthday's October 17th. I had just turned 45 years old. I had been covering minor league baseball at that point since 1998, so 20 full years, all of which my goal was to cover the major leagues. My goal was always to cover the major leagues. But at 45 years old, it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. Major League Baseball writers nowadays, the ones who get hired are 22, 24, 25 years old because the travel is just insane. They don't want to pay you a lot. They need you to work 100 hours a week. And if you've got a wife and kids, it's just not going to work. Dejan Kovacevic calls me in Bloomington, Indiana in 2018. I'm 45 years old. This is going to be my last shot to cover Major League Baseball. I know this. But they had an opening. He knew me. I didn't really know DK very well. I didn't know him really at all. I knew his work. He knew my work from covering the Curve. But he offers me a job sight unseen covering the Pirates. And I told Neil Riddell, because Neil and I were sharing a hotel room, getting ready to cover the Penn State game the following day. I told Neil, I'm like, wow, this is not something I was looking for at this stage in my life. Neil's a good dude. Neil always cared about me and my career and my, you know, personal life and everything like that. So I could talk, even though he's my boss and I might be leaving a job, you know, leaving the mirror to go get this job. But so my initial reaction was, I'm not going to take this job, but I'm going to give it thought. I'm going to give it a lot of thought. I'm going to make sure I think about it as much as I possibly can. And so I spent Friday night talking about it. I get to the stadium on Saturday. And I call DK back and say, I can't thank you enough for the job offer, but I'm just not going to take it at this point. My kids are 6 years old. My son is starting his baseball career. I cannot take a job that's going to take me away from their lives that much. At that stage of my life, 45 years old, six-year-old twins, my boy getting set to start his baseball career, my dad never missed a baseball game that I played growing up in my life. I wanted to be that dad. And for the most part, I have been. I've missed a couple of my boys' games because I was covering Penn State football a couple years ago in fall ball. But I knew this was going to be my very last opportunity to cover Major League Baseball. It just was, because nobody's hiring 45, 50-year-old beat writers in Major League. They're firing those people to hire 22-year-olds, just like a lot of other industries in this country. But I'll always remember that the craziness of getting that out. Now, as fate would have it, I end up working for DK Pittsburgh Sports for 3 years covering Penn State football, and he offered me opportunities, a bunch of opportunities, to go over and cover the Pirates, and I still could have on like a part-time basis. I just didn't want to because, again, for the same reasons. I wasn't driving 2 hours to Pittsburgh and covering games and missing my kids' youth and going on road trips. I wasn't going to do that. So that's why I can relate to Matt McGloin. I don't know if this is the reason or not, but if I had to guess, it certainly makes perfect sense that Matt McGloin got up to Boston and realized I'm away from my son and my wife, and I'm just not going to do this. Clarkster, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Well, as Yogi Berra once said, you remember, when you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Take it. That's right. Yep.
You hope that that's the reason McGloin.
Yeah, so, something simple. Yeah, something minor. You
well,
know, just
yeah,
pers-
I
yeah,
know, but he's up there, and, you know, the Kraft family is up that way. You know, some things rub off on people.
You thinking he went out to a massage parlor with Bob Kraft?
No, you just don't know.
That was a bad joke.
It wasn't like he didn't have a position, and he had a fairly responsible
position. Yeah, but this was a really cool opportunity to go work for Bill O'Brien, get involved in college football coaching at 35. That could lead to a lot of things for Matt McGloin back in football.
Yeah, well, but the likelihood is he going to – what team is in Scranton? You know, who could he be a coach for?
Yeah, but again, hey Clarkson, that's a great point. Of all the discussions we've had, I've rarely mentioned this on the air. You've been listening for a long time. This is something else that people don't care about or think about with college coaches. Say you're Rick Pitino you're at Iona. Yeah, uprooting. You're uprooting your whole family, your kids, and all this stuff. And these coaches just seem to do it all over the place. And with all
they rely upon a wife.
They get their money, they get their prestige, but my God, there needs to be in-depth stories on how many of these constantly mobile coaches are divorced. Okay? Well, and how many of them still speak to their kids because they change jobs every 2 years and their kids get uprooted out of school every 2 years?
Look at James Franklin's resume.
Oh, that's exactly right. And quite frankly, all the guys that James Franklin came here with from Vanderbilt, including Brent Pry, they were all the same thing. Every 2 to 3 years, they're constantly moving. Now, look, it's worked out for James. He makes
$9
million. When
you're young, you can do this.
Well, but when you have a family... when you have a family and you're still putting yourself above everything, and yes, you're making your money and you're chasing the dream and the glory, but these coaches, nobody even thinks about, well, why would this guy turn down? He's at something state making $1 million. Why would he turn down the $3 million job at the bigger program? Well, maybe it's because he just doesn't want to uproot his family.
Yeah. Quick San Luis Obispo story.
Oh, you got one. All right.
Well, actually, there's a restaurant there called the Apple Farm. I don't know if you were there.
I was there for 3 hours in a newspaper office.
Oh, a newspaper. They didn't take you out to lunch.
No, I didn't get any damn lunch. That's a mistake. When I interviewed at the Mirror in 1999, Neil and Jim Lane took me out to lunch. We went to Friday's, had a nice lunch.
Yeah, but there's a place there called the Apple Farm. And we were taking a trip going up the Pacific Highway. Mm-hmm. We had stopped the night before, like in the Santa Barbara, Oxnard area. And by the time we started driving up, the next day we stopped for lunch. So we parked the car, get out of the car, and lo and behold, there's a car in front of us in the next lane over with Pennsylvania plates.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So actually they were coming back from having their lunch. I went over, hey, where are you from? They were from about 10 miles away from home here. I mean, literally next door.
What year was this?
This was in San Luis Obispo, California.
What year?
Either the late 90s or the early aughts.
All right.
You know, I forget when it was. All up the trip now, we end up bumping into people from Pennsylvania. I mean, literally. We went to a place... And where we stayed the next morning, the person that waited on us for breakfast was from Wayne, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of you know, Philadelphia and everything. But we sent her kid to school at one of the big time schools out in the area here. But we kept bumping into people from Pennsylvania. Nice country once you get outside of L.A.
Yeah,
true.
I remember being in traffic in L.A. when it was a disaster,
but I did
drive along the Pacific Coast Highway. That was a memorable experience. It's the only time I've ever been out there for that specific reason. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a bucket list trip. So, all right.
Good stuff, man. I like it. I like the part about you run into people all over the place. And it proves what a small world it is, including Dan, a couple days ago, out of nowhere, you mentioned San Luis Obispo. You're the reason I'm talking about all this today, because I was going to bring this up when you mentioned it in passing the other day. I don't even remember what you mentioned it for, but when you said that town, it got the wheels rolling on all this stuff we're talking about today.
Well, what the reason was, I called in about five different stadiums that I was to.
Right.
And the best one was third on my list was Los Angeles, because of the scenery and the beauty of it and that area and everything. And that's what brought it up. See, but another situation you had, Corey, you had a situation like you didn't want to take the job with the Pirates, but you were right on the verge of getting hired with Sports Illustrated, and they dropped the ball on you.
They did, and that was, I don't want to get too melancholy on this, Dan.
Well, don't do it.
But I will for a second. I've spoken about this. This is the time to do it. The anniversary of that is April 8th. I remember it very clearly when I found out. It's the only time in my life I really ever contemplated in any way, shape, or form. I'm not trying to be crazy here. I don't want sympathy. It's the only time in my life I really ever contemplated, like, suicide, because when I had the Sports Illustrated job taken away from me on April 8th, 2020, this is COVID, and life was crap for a lot of people. And this was a $60,000+ a year job covering Penn State. I was going to get to live at home. And I'd already pretty much told the Mirror I was going to take the job, and I had the job for 2 weeks. And then the a-hole at Sports Illustrated took it away. I'm not getting all those reasons, but you want to talk about a life-crushing situation. But you know what? Here's the thing. I look back on it. I'm a big believer that life is all about experiences and memories, and you've got to if life deals you lemons, you got to make lemonade and all that stuff. I look back on it and think, you know what? It didn't hurt me at all. It didn't hurt me in any way, really, losing the Sports Illustrated job after I got over it. And so life went on. I'm perfectly happy with the life I have now. But, yeah, if I could have gotten a job covering Penn State football and still living in Altoona and still have the life that I wanted to have, that was a dream scenario without question.
It certainly was, and it was right about the same time as the Pirate job, too, pretty close.
It was a couple years after, but then, again, the difference maker here, and folks, again, I remember, this is April 8th, and every year when April 8th rolls around, I have some sadness, but this is April 8th, 2020. This is a month and a half into COVID. Everybody's in lockdown at this point. You're stuck at home. Nobody could go anywhere. You couldn't do anything or see anything, and I had this job opportunity taken away just like that, and the only solace that I had was sitting at home doing nothing while my wife was teaching our kids school. So it was a really hard time for me for a month or so. But again, and I don't mean to mention this, you know, for any sad reasons. I'm just trying to tell you, life throws you curveballs. You got to foul off the curveball and wait till you get a fastball that you can hammer over the fence.
Well, you were a big man, because you talked about it several times after that, and you went real deep, and I had chills in my body and everything, and I felt so bad and everything, because you know, it's like this, like these people going through in the military after they get out, and it doesn't end up good for their family.
Here's the thing about life. Every decision you make will impact your future and the futures of everybody around you. And we think about the big life-altering decisions that we know are huge, but every day you make 10 or 15 decisions that will impact
every single hour.
Absolutely. And that will impact so many other things.
Yeah.
Good stuff, right, Dan. Appreciate anything else, buddy?
Well, we've gone on too long and about life experiences. But once I get started and everything, and because you called me pretty quirky at times, so I'll wait till you bring up the topic some other time.
Dan, I like hearing from you. You generate ideas in my brain with some of the quirky things you say. So you help me come up with topics like this. How about that?
Well, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Kyle Busch took home the checkered flag for some Truck Series racing from Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend, and here he is.
No, I was trying to hold that inside lane back. Each time I kept crawling forward, I kept trying to pull it back and then get the outside lane to push forward. And really, the outside just didn't stay organized enough. It was really dirty up there. You know, we weren't clean and close and keeping the gaps and being able to push down a straightaway and get the big speed that we needed. You know, that's what kept the inside. The inside was better organized, and they just kept being able to get up there. So I kept trying to slow it down, just couldn't do it. So I was just kind of like, okay, each time one of those guys gets up in front of me, then I need to make sure that I get back in front of them and to get back into control of you know, eventually thinking that the bottom lane was going to deteriorate and fall off, which it never did. Yeah, it was you know, pretty dicey there towards the end, and good show for the fans, and great to be able to finish a super speedway race without a slew of cautions and crashes, you know. So good race in there. You know, that inside lane materialized. I don't know where it came from or how, but those guys kept working and getting each one of them that kind of led that line, got cycled to the lead, got up to the front, and then I was able to kind of do a move from second to first to cut them off and get back up to the front each time. And you know, there at the end, I chose the wrong line off of two coming to the white flag. I should have stayed low in front of Friesen, I believe it was, and you know, I went to the top because I thought the top would have the runoff of two. And
you're on the final lap.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance, and then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today you're gonna pay down your credit card bill, but you decide when you'll pay it
before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you.
But you decide if you pay it in full.
But you definitely should, because, again, interest charges.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platforms.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
There you go, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. They're our presenting sponsor each and every day. We love J.M. Boswell's. Fantastic folks. If you stop by there, Alexandria or Chambersburg store, tell them you heard us talking about them on Sports Central. Alexandria store is open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. We got Jerry in Bellwood. What's going on, Jerry? How you doing, buddy?
Good. I'll tell you what changed my life. When I got out of high school, I was just like an average student. I think in my class, I was exactly in the middle when I graduated. And so, anyway, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And a good guy got me into a college out in Idaho for free because we didn't have much money. My mom worked two jobs and, you know, she was raising us on our own. So he got me into college. I did okay for one semester, and then I thought, well, I'm gonna go home. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said, I'm gonna go on one of those missions, you know, Mormon missionaries. I used that as an excuse to come home, I think, because I was homesick. So I come home, and then I said, I guess I'm not gonna go. You know, I had a girlfriend and all that stuff. And so I went to meet with one of the heads of the church in Pennsylvania, and he talked me into going. He said, you know, it was December 27th, and he said, you'll never forget this day. It'll change your life. So I went out. I did. I went on a mission, and I didn't want to be there. I didn't know anything. You know, I was just a stupid kid. And then I got a companion. You know, there's always two missionaries together when you see them around. You know, there's always two. And the guy that I was with, he had a terrible attitude. He was lazy. But the one thing he learned, he told me, he said, somebody wrote him and said, if you want to kill time, try working it to death. I thought, well, I don't want to be here, so I'm going to start working hard. And that changed my whole life, you know, because time did go faster, but I also loved what I was doing. And it set a foundation for me for the rest of my life. And when I came home from that mission, I'd like to say that I just was, you know, on fire and I was the greatest guy in the world. But I slipped back a few times and did things I shouldn't have done, you know, and all that stuff. But I had the foundation of, I knew what it took to be successful in life, including hard work and, you know, other things that you learn from, you know, what, your faith and that type of thing.
Where was the mission at?
South Carolina and Georgia.
So you born and raised in Central PA?
Yeah.
This is what I love. This is the kind of stuff I love. You're born and raised in Central PA. You got to Idaho. I've never met anybody from Idaho. That's how far away that is. You got to Idaho, then you go to Georgia and South Carolina. That, to me, is what young people should do. That, to me, is what, and look, not everybody has the means, but there's still a lot of people in this country, an enormous percentage of people in this country who never leave like 15, 20 miles from where they grew up. They just stay there forever. But to me, being able to get out and see the world, see different places, see different cultures, you know, it makes you learn so much about yourself and so much about other people. And I love hearing stories like that. I left Arkansas at 23 years old. You know, the rest of my family all still lives within 20 miles of where they grew up. So I can relate to that. But I love hearing that story, Jerry. That's a lot of good info.
Well, I tell you, it made me a man. It really did. It
changed
me. I was completely different when I
got
that two-year mission. You know, the other thing is I did something that was hard. It was really hard when you're 19 to leave for 2 years and do something you don't get paid for. In fact, you have to pay your own way and all that stuff. But I did something that was hard. And I think that's what the younger generations, they try to avoid doing something hard. Now, I tried to avoid it too, but I knew it was something I should do, and it was just something that was something I should do, so I did it anyway. And I think that's an important lesson.
Hey, Jerry, real quick.
Hard will make you better.
I've only got 30 seconds. I'm up against the break. I could talk about this for a while. What's the LDS situation? I've never heard of many LDS people in this area. Is it much of a community?
No, we have about 80 people that attend church here in the area, and we have different branches in all over, like Central Pennsylvania.
Okay, all right. I've never encountered really any Latter-day Saints here. Not that I would really necessarily know one way or another, but it's just not something I've heard people talk about in this area.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Good stuff.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep.
50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Some sad news I want to mention here as we close today. Lou Prado, Penn State athletics historian, one of the biggest Penn State fans you would ever know, he passed away on Tuesday at the age of 87. Lots of remembrances online. Penn State athletics has a nice feature story about him. But Lou Prado was the founding director of the Penn State All Sports Museum many years ago. Wrote the Penn State Football Encyclopedia. He knew everything about the history of Penn State football for decades and decades and decades, from attending Joe Paterno press conferences to working as a journalist covering Penn State. So I want to send along condolences to the family of Lou Prado. I got to know him a little bit years ago when I first started covering Penn State. I hadn't seen Lou in a number of years, but good fella, good man, very well liked by many people at Penn State. And just want to issue condolences to his family. Lou Prado passed away at 87. Nathan will be hosting the show tomorrow. Whatever questions you got, give him a call.
Exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.